Excellent. Absolutely outstanding. OK, it's time, because it's the third Wednesday of the month, for another joyous Inspired On Air and Royal Radio event, which means we've got, for the first time live and without the aid of a safety net, two fabulous folk from the Lincoln New Theatre Royal in the studio with us. We have the awesome Oliver Rushby. How are you, Oliver?
I'm very good, Alex. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, it's OK. A bit damp outside, but, you know, we're OK. We're looking forward to exciting things. And also making his debut from the Lincoln New Theatre Royal, we've got box office / sales manager. That would be Lee. How are you, Lee?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. Good to see you.
Also in the studio, gearing up for all sorts of things, including an interview which we're doing with Jodie Kidd in a few moments from now, we've got the fabulous Leanne Etheridge. How are you, Leanne?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so coming up on this particular thing is the spring season. You wouldn't know it. Well, actually, spring hasn't sprung as yet, but the spring season is three interviews to include Jodie Kidd, but two specifically connected with the new Theatre Royal because it is Royal Radio. Nick Cochrane, of course, formerly of Coronation Street.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Yeah, he's coming along next week, actually, in The Cinderpath, one of Catherine Cookson's
excellent
plays.
Catherine, of course, from Sunderland when she was here.
Well, I never knew that.
Yeah,
I thought we were going to talk about football.
I know, but you, I just couldn't resist her. I was working from that line. And also from Age UK, Katie Graham is going to be talking about Age on the Stage.
Yeah, that's a talent show coming this weekend. I won't go into too much just now. We'll leave that for Katie.
But right. And who knows, Leanne making a debut. Our production might end up doing reviews of shows, all sorts of other areas. It's just shows at the end of the day you get what you give. Well, be the case when we're talking about fuel or indeed climate change or all sorts of things, we get what we give. New research has revealed that more than 2/3 of drivers are now considering going electric for their next car. And with electric cars obviously driving through the home, let's do a quick straw poll in the studio. Ollie, are you a driver?
I'm a driver. Well, I attempt to drive, yeah.
Electric car?
Not yet. Haven't
not
quite
yet.
Got around to that
okay.
just yet.
Lee, driver?
I am a driver, yes.
Yeah, electric car?
No, I drive in Lincoln, so we don't move anywhere.
Oh, okay, harsh point there. Yeah. And Leanne?
Driving 4 years, so yeah.
So electric car?
No, can't afford them.
Can't afford... Well, maybe, just maybe, Jodie Kidd, the awesome TV presenter, model and general all-round motoring enthusiast, could persuade you. Jodie, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Excellent. Now, there you have a quick straw poll from some of our team here. Got a way to go, and I must admit, I have yet to drive an electric car myself as well.
I know. I drive an i8, so I got that about 5 years ago, and it was where there was hardly any electric vehicles out there. There really was. You had zero choice. But in the 5 years that's happened, the technology is moved forward so quickly. You've now got all the manufacturers are now producing electric vehicles. You're having so much choice. The price is coming down. You know, there's so many misconceptions about electric vehicles, like, you know, it takes hours and hours and hours to charge them. You know, it's, you know, the infrastructure isn't there to find charging points if you're going on a long journey. And I'd have to say, you know, 5 years ago, you had to think about it if you were doing a long journey, which is totally changed now. So hopefully I can put all those kind of misconceptions to bed. But yes, they are producing so many more. You've got big car manufacturers that are vowing by 2025 to be completely electric, you know, and things like that. So we are being forced into this area, but it is so important because, you know, we're at this point where we are really conscious of our carbon footprint, and it's also coinciding with what the government has said, that by 2040 that they're going to completely ban hybrids, and this is the sale of hybrid petrols and diesel cars. They last week just brought that forward 5 years. So they're going to be completely banned by 2035. So, and they might even bring that even more forward. You know, the UK has vowed to be net zero when it comes to carbon emissions by 2050. So we are going in this direction, but it's amazing how quickly the technology, the support that is actually happening. So, you know, I think it's because it's just gone so quickly that people are still a bit like, well, I've only just got my car a couple of years ago, and normally you have a car for quite a considerable amount of time, but it's really caught up in that short amount of period of time, the electric vehicle, the infrastructure around the United Kingdom, everything like that. It really has changed.
Well, Jodie, I was speaking to Quentin Wilson, the motoring critic, and he said he'd had a Damascus-like moment. But for me, actually, we need you, Jodie Kidd. We need that. I mean, you've almost convinced me, actually, along those sort of ways. Let's start with Leanne. Any questions for Jodie?
I just want to know, is the car industry actually ready for this at all?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they're really embracing it. You know, they're not only electric vehicles, but we're talking about autonomous vehicles. We're talking about self-driving vehicles that are literally about to go into production. So I think there's you know, that they are a lot more forward than we actually even know about. So, yes, they're very much ready.
And Ollie, working for the New Theatre Royal in Lincoln, from that sort of line, I mean, clearly we'd like to feel in Lincoln we're ecologically sound, etc., but actually travelling into Lincoln can be challenging if you look at car parking and so on. I mean, clearly, apart from the fact that we need an evening with Jodie Kidd at the New Theatre
Royal. That'd be great,
Is this something which are you thinking about going electric from what Jodie's been saying?
Is that the tip of the line? I think in the long term, I would. I mean, I love cars and et cetera, but I think it's got to happen at some point. It must have been a while ago, but Jeremy Clarkson of Top Gear did that episode where he actually came to Lincoln, and the only place he could charge it in Lincoln 10 years ago was here.
It's not Patrick and Jodie coming to Lincoln.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was Lincoln's claim to fame, that.
I think that in cities, it's just an absolute no-brainer. You know, you're getting charging points everywhere. But by the end of this year, Shell will have over 200 of these super, super quick chargers on their forecourts, which actually charge 80% of the car in 10 minutes. You know, most people think it takes hours and hours. And then you've got these smart chargers for your home, which also charge the car super quickly. So the tech is there, and it is moving forward at a very fast rate. So it's something to not be kind of daunted by or be frightened by. It's you know, it's really exciting.
Of course, the other concern is that, is the charge going to last for a journey of 200 miles? I think 256 miles has worked from that point.
Yeah, 350, I believe, the I-PACE. So, you know, that's a lot of miles. No one really is going to be realistically doing that in a day. Mm. So, you know, it's, and then you just come back and plug it in when you get home and off you go. So it's the battery life, the range, the infrastructure, the charging points, is all, you know, it's all changing very, very quickly, and it's becoming so much more user-friendly.
Judy, it sounds ideal. Leanne, you had another question, quickly.
Do you also think it's going to be financially feasible for low-income households as well?
Yeah, I mean, they are actually, if you were going to fill your car up, it is massively cheaper to just fill it up with electricity. So there's Shell Energy's got this tariff and this electric vehicle offer going on at the moment, and they said you get 2,000 free miles. That's the equivalent to £80. And if you were going to do 2,000 miles in a normal car, in petrol, that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. So, you know, that's might kind of like change your mind a bit, that it is massively, massively cheaper to do electricity. So in the long run, you know, it's much more of a wiser choice.
Jody, I think you're beginning to persuade us. Let's do that acid test once again. Lee, is that swaying you to actually say, I might consider going electric?
First of all, Jody, I love the pre-planning of it. It's great. You've given us the information for the future. It's not necessarily something we would think about until nearer the time.
It's not for nothing. I had a jingle ready saying, help us, Jody Kidd. You're our only hope.
Well, this is it. And I think in this modern day and age of the iPhone and the smartphone, people are charging because the batteries are running down without a second thought. I think when they first came out, People were thinking a similar thing. Yeah. Oh, that would have to charge this all the time. It doesn't keep what I need to do on it. But now people are carrying the chargers in their pockets.
Or the new ones, they are lasting beyond a day.
That's right.
It's just be like 3 hours. Oh, no, it's gone.
Signal's gone. Everything's going, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got like the new Golf coming out that's an electric. You've got, you know, Nissan. All of those people, they're bringing the prices down. They're becoming more affordable. You're getting loads of different, you know, options for small city cars or bigger kind of cruisers and things like that. So there's so much more choice out there.
And Ollie, are you now beginning to sway into that line of thinking, yes, Jody has spoken the right words, I'm going that way?
I'll follow Jody. Yeah, I'm going to go for it, yeah.
And Leanne, what about yourself?
I've got to ask, are they as fun to drive?
Well, the quickest car in the world is an electric vehicle, and it's called a Rimac, and it does 0 to 60, 1.85 seconds.
Wow.
Do I need to say more? They are so unbelievably rapid. It's weird. When you first drive one and you've got no noise and you put your foot on the accelerator, you get instantaneous power. Whereas, you know, we're so used to kind of the petrol engines where you kind of like, ooh, and then you change gear and then boom, you're gone. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, they're brilliant. So I think, you know, they really do tick every kind of box, even if you like speed or if you just want a little city car.
Is that the real reason, Jody? Is that the real reason? Is it just because everybody was following suit, or did it want to go faster?
If I had a spared £2 million, I would definitely be getting a Rimac. But no, I'm going to get this. I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
I'll tell you what, Jody, let's try and set a crowdfunding thing for you. I mean, I think that's the least we can
do. I'll
put
5
Jody needs a Rimac.
Exactly. We'll go there. Jody, where can people go to find out further details about electric cars from what we've spoken about today?
Yeah, you can go to shellenergy.co.uk and that will give you everything from the tariffs to all the bits of info that you need.
In which case, Jody, it's been a delight sharing some thoughts with yourself. Will you be kind enough to join us again? And who knows, maybe come up to Lincoln and do some more stuff with you. Will you be able to do that?
Do you know what? I'd love to.
I think that deserves a round of applause. A round of applause for Jody Kidd, please.
Hey!
If he ever thought of going electric. Eddie and the Hot Rods, Do Anything You Want to Do. Age on the Stage, you can probably do anything you want to do on that one as well, Ollie, isn't that right?
You can, yes. Yeah, big funness.
And possibly win 500 English pounds.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It's very good. And the best person to probably talk about this in terms of what's happening at the New Theatre Royal, apart from yourself, of course, clearly, and, of course, Lee, would be from Age UK, the very wonderful Katie Graham. How are you, Katie?
Hi there, really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Age on the Stage, for the chronologically gifted amongst us and more, talk to us about what's happening and what delightful things we'll be seeing with the Beaver Band. Real name? Yeah, obviously. Janine and Tilly, Lily and Ian, the KWC crew, the showroom and more.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting night. We've got 10 incredible local acts from all the way around the county. So we had auditions in Lincoln, Boston and Grantham, but we've had people travel from as far as Louth and Grimsby to audition and to get to the final. So, yeah, there's 10 acts in the running, all in for a £500 cash prize and the Pepperell Solicitor's Trophy as well. So well worth popping down to the New Theatre Royal.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, there's always good stuff happening at the New Theatre Royal, which is why they deserve their monthly programme, Royal Radio. So, Ollie, anything you'd like to add to what Katie shared with us there?
I think it's just a really good, it's a great idea, really, yeah. The whole intergenerational thing. So it's 15 years between, that's right, isn't it, Katie? It's got to be 15 years between the age group of the people performing together. Mm-hmm. So it's just a nice way to bring the families, not just families, sorry, just different age groups together, build community. And also we've got a great kind of star-studded panel, really. I'll let Lee cover that one.
This is why I was going to say, I just thought surely just having Georgia on the panel would be fine, but you've got Chris Johnson and more.
We have, yes, obviously Georgia from the West End. We have Gracie from Britain's Got Talent, semi-finalist she was. Jason Bradbury is an excellent advocate of the theatre from The Gadget Show. Peter Levy, BBC Look North, there's so many.
Do you know,
so
I sat on his sofa a couple of times.
Did
he
you?
He forgets me these days.
Remember, you're on the radio.
He wanted to talk about supermarkets and such like. No, this was his TV studio back in the day. Still, we did actually have a chat with him at the Lincolnshire Show. Oh, I'm remembering so many wonderful things. so, Jason Bradbury, as you say, Peter Levy. Sorry?
There's many more. The host of the... Chris is hosting the evening. Chris Johnson, yep. CBeebies Yonko. He's also a Lincoln favourite, especially in our pantomimes. Yeah. And it's worth coming to see him alone. He's absolutely, you know, belly laughing.
Hilarious.
When you see Chris, he is indeed. And the age range, not of the judges or obviously the panellists, but the age range of contestants, as Ollie was saying, we have from 4 years old to 101 years old. Mm. Amazing. On stage performing. I love it. That's what it's about. That's what theatre's about.
So, Katie, is this something which you said, yep, this is what we're all about, that sort of generational, multifaceted sort of zone, etc., and making sure that a fun time is had by all?
Absolutely, and I think the best thing is about this is that we're told a lot of times now that young people don't really want to get involved with older people, and as AGK Lincoln and South Lincolnshire, we want to make sure that we're kind of bridging that gap and building relationships, and I do think that the arts and music and dance is the best way to do that, and that's really what Age on the Stage is all about, and I don't think you'll find a show that has an age range of 97 years really anywhere else, and I think it's definitely the first place that I've heard that's done this, so it's definitely worth the ticket price.
Okay, Leanne is joining us for the first time in the studio today. Leanne, is this something which you think I might be interested in, Age on the Stage?
I honestly can't believe the age range. It sounds so interesting, so we'll have to come along and see.
It could set the scene for things that could be happening in Norwich in the very near future. Who knows?
Yes. Hopefully so.
So it's 22nd of February. Are tickets still available?
There are a few tickets still
they
to
are,
get
they
in.
They are selling fast. Obviously, yeah. It's only this Saturday, yeah. 7 o'clock, so there are limited seating, but there are tickets available. I'd encourage anybody on this show and any show to book early. Yeah. Guarantee the great seats to see
from
that night.
Point of view. They can find tickets, presumably. Can they still book them online, or do they need to actually sort of make a contact directly?
You can still get them online, or pop into the box office, have a little chat with Lee, he'll get you sorted.
Yeah, if I'm there, I might be making a brew at the time, but I'll bring you on if I am, and we'll have a chat.
Katie, that's the stuff. I mean, Lee, multitasked. I mean, there was a time where the very notion of a male human being able to actually sort of make a cup of tea and deal with ticket sales is too much.
No, it's in that order. I'm working on it.
Just too much. Katie, what are you most looking forward to from Age on the Stage? Is it that, I can't believe, 97 years separate? It's over a century, almost.
I think the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is seeing all the acts again, because I was on the audition panel for the auditions around the county, and actually seeing kind of how they've kind of progressed their act in the last month and seeing how it translates to a huge stage. And there's people that are as young as four and also old people that have never even been in front of an audience before. So it's more a personal thing for me to see how the acts kind of deal with that situation and really enjoy it and thrive in that situation. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Obviously, a lot of other people are looking forward to the star-studded panel and meeting people and seeing who wins the £500 cash prize. But I think at the bottom of it for me is kind of the relationship between older and younger people and how they progress and what they get from this.
And obviously we just had the 40th anniversary of the Brit Awards. Will this be a case of Age on the Stage? Will take us long into the 21st century? Is there a second one already in the planning stages for next year? No pun intended, planning stages. Good.
Sorry, yes. We completely. I don't know whether you wanted to talk about it.
I know. Just do what you want, Katie. I don't know. It's fine.
I'll do what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we are. We're completely already planning for next year. You can already sign up to apply for next year's auditions. So you can email me at fundraisingandmarketing@ageuklsl.org.uk and get your audition booked in for next year.
And one of the great things about this, of course, Ollie, is the way in which it's demonstrating once again how the New Theatre Royal is actively involved within the community and organisations within that. So it must be a win-win situation.
Oh, it's brilliant. We're wishing to do a little bit for the community, getting people in. And when Edge UK approached us, they approached Nat about it, she was straight away like, we've got to do this. So, yeah, all guns in now.
And you said you were on the auditioning panel there, Katie. I mean, without mentioning any names, but were there anybody who turned up and you just thought, no, we just can't do it. We just can't have another Spoons player on, et cetera.
We had a few kind of disappointed people, but there were some that kind of on the day that we thought, oh, that might be a little bit too dangerous. Mm. But actually, kind of, we've worked with them in the last month and we've done everything we can to make sure that the kind of 10 acts are as varied as possible and they're going to perform as well as they can. So there is a little bit of danger in there, but hopefully it should go okay and we'll pull it off.
And there's always that notion when the centenarians actually, they've passed 100 years old and they suddenly they actually want to do some fire eating on stage. And it's a nice idea, but, you know, health and safety from that point of view, there are certain limits that you have to actually have from that point of view. Still, there we are. Katie, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. Of course, you've given the contact details. Once again, people can listen again to the podcast, which will be up very, very soon as well, if they haven't actually managed to get details down now. The key thing is basically be there. And Ollie, presumably, if people are thinking, well, what about next year? They consider sort of setting up their acts together or get their family oriented now and start planning?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm looking for a partner. So if anybody's below the age of, I don't know, or not, I'll go above actually, Mark.
Yeah,
15-year age gap.
15-year age gap.
Just email Theatre and Lou Passion to me.
So anything between like 70 and 105 then?
Really, something like that, yeah. Well, that's about
there
it.
You go. Now, when you've actually been on Win, Lose or Draw, Celebrity Eggheads, Live and Kicking, The South Bank Show, Loose Women, Coronation Street, I mean, you're just an all-round wonderful person. Then when you're actually adding to that, appearing at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln in a Catherine Cookson classic, well, it's awesome. And so is Nick Cochrane. How are you, Nick? Welcome to Royal Radio.
Wow, I wish I could have recorded that. Oh, what an intro. Thank you very much indeed, sir.
It's quite all right, Nick.
I actually impressed myself. That doesn't happen very often.
There you go. Listen, back in 2012, you were in a sold-out Canadian theatre tour, Tales from the Street, which... I mean, who would have thought...
You know what? Absolutely loved that. Beautiful place, Canada. Went all over the show. It was fantastic. Great month, that.
Excellent. In fact, all's perfect, apart from, of course, the MUTV. And as a Man City supporter, clearly I can't say anything at this stage, except, oh, we'll carry on. I know, don't say anything.
Well, on the contrary. It's good for us both to be in some sort of boat of the same size.
Well, this is true.
We've been in a big boat, and then you took it over, and for some reason, we're now kind of just, well...
Yeah, we are.
I'm still
exactly.
on your team, believe it or not, because of the other lot at the top, but nevertheless. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is it. You go over to Manchester now, and all you basically hear is the vague sound of Scouse laughter, and I think it's just unfair, you know? On the plus side, we can say that Oliver is indeed a Sunderland supporter, so, you know, all's well.
You've got a little dinghy next to the big boat, aren't you, mate?
We've got
a couple of the lads in the show told me they've got the best defensive record in all the leagues. If not
they have, yeah. We've had... Yeah, I think 7 out of 8 clean sheets this year, so no biggie.
Very good. I'm impressed.
We have Leanne, who's from Norwich, so you know more basically.
Yeah. and
of course, Lee, who curiously is a Celtic supporter.
I am a Celtic supporter, yes.
They're breathing down your neck, boy. They're breathing down your neck.
No, I thought they were at Christmas.
Plain sailing for a bit. But again, With Mr. Gerrard there, I could only be a Celtic fan myself.
good man.
Anyway, if Catherine Cookson were looking down on us now, he'd say, enough of the footballing talk, etc. Let's talk about The Cinder Path. It's a brand new musical, Nick, which is a sizzling and fast-moving drama set against the backdrop of World War One.
Yes. Well, you've said it all, really. that's pretty much what we're doing. It is new. The brainchild of Leah Bell, who's done it, and Paul Dunn has adapted the script. We've added a few songs and some talented people. Myself excluded on that one.
I was going to say, do you take on board the role of Charlie McFell?
No, I don't. I'm far too old for that. Are you mad? No. That's the very handsome James. Takes on Charlie McFell and takes it on fabulously, I have to say. It's quite intimidating, really, to turn up as the sort of oldish dog in a cast, and they're all better than me. It's not all the kids are fabulous. That's not a very nice thing to say, but you know what I mean.
Young people, young thespians, young folk. I mean, it's when you actually start saying, "Oh, back in my day, we used to have people who used to do all sorts of things in the theatre." What's this newfangled malarkey? The social medias you speak of.
Mate, I say things daily and just get looks of quizzical. They have no idea what I'm talking about. So yeah, there's that.
It'll work through that. Ian, I'm really looking forward to this, but I thought Catherine Cookson and a musical. That's a bit an unusual one.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, it's the deal is fabulous author, absolutely brilliant, and we've all seen the stuff on the TV, generally with Robson Green in it. So we've seen all that, and, you know, without being rude, a fabulous author, like I say, but sometimes just a touch depressing, maybe. Don't want people leaving the theatre.
15 Streets, it's all like northeastern EastEnders. You know, you're thinking enough already.
It's very gritty, and it's set. You know, like I say, World War One. So it's there's all that with it, and so Leah and Paul had the idea of throwing a little bit of humour in there, which is good. That helps things to tick along. And, of course, if you've got people in the cast who have got fabulous voices, you might as well throw some songs in as well. So that's what we did.
The tale
that's
begins.
What we did. I can't take any credit for it whatsoever.
Nick, rule number one. I mean, we've just wrapped up the award season, etc. If we're going to get, you know, your first Tony and sort of Olivier Awards, we need you start off by saying take all the credit. You know, just go with it.
Yeah. Well, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. But fortunately for me, I'm playing the baddie, so that's good.
The tale begins. In the rolling hills of Northumberland, where Charlie McFell becomes an innocent witness to the murder of his cruel and sadistic landowner father, believing himself to be the only person aware that his childhood friend Arthur Benton is the killer, Charlie tries to set old injustices to right by protecting his friend from persecution.
He does, but unfortunately, I've seen it.
Spoiler.
I don't want to give it all away.
Exactly.
Absolutely brilliant. I've got to tell you, when I first got the call, I don't know.
Did you think it was PPI? Sorry, when you first got the call.
Did you think it was PPI? No, I don't mean your call. I meant from the
guy. Yes.
Right. From Leah. I the Cookson guys don't really let a lot out for. Do you know what I mean? They're quite
uptight.
Protective of it all. Mm. And so when the opportunity came up to do something like a Cookson on Trust, so I just jumped at it. Do you know what I mean? And it was. And like I say, my character Ginger Slater is a bit of a nasty one, so it's been good to get my teeth into that because clearly I'm just a nice bloke.
Absolutely. I mean, this is true. I mean, you've heard it now on Royal Radio. Yes, Man U fans are also nice people as well.
No, we are. We get bad press.
Exactly.
We get bad press. This is what happens when you win everything all the time, you know.
I agree with you there, Nick.
So, Leanne, any questions you'd like to put to Nick about The Cinder Path or life in general?
Whenabouts is it coming on to?
26th of February.
Oh, that's very close.
Exactly.
It is. We're off to, where are we going today? I should know, really. Whitley Bay. We're in Whitley Bay today. And then...
I was so tempted to go into my Geordie there, Nick. You know, honestly. Whitley Bay, where the Spanish city is. Waipet. There you go.
There's lots of that. There's lots of that in the cast. I'd say I probably get about 70% of it. and the rest of it just goes over my head.
I was born in Middlesbrough, and I still don't understand what they're doing 40 miles north of me. So, yeah. Whoa.
I mean, all those little factions up there with Jordan and Macombs and all the rest of it, and you've got to be very careful.
The official line that we've taken in the past is there is a commonality between Middlesbrough folk and Newcastle folk. They both hate folk from Sunderland with a vengeance. Okay, if you have that as the basis.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah.
I know, but where does Durham and Hartlepool and all that?
Please. Please step away from the monkey hangers and keep the Durham folk to another side. Okay? These are critical things.
I'll tell you what, there's a couple of guys in the cast. You want to be careful if you're coming to see it.
There you go. Hold them back.
Are you saying I can't come in costume as Hangus the Monkey, the former mayor of Hartlepool? I mean, that's just what would you do?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, well. Any questions, Ollie, you'd like to
I'm really looking forward to this. Lee has brought a few bits our way. I think she brought Right Place, Wrong Time and Seriously Dead, so she always puts on a good show, so I'm sure it's going to be great. But I'm going to ask a really cliche question, sorry. It's the you probably have this all the time. TV or theatre, what do you prefer doing?
Well, yeah, I'll give you the honest answer that most actors don't give you.
Yeah.
Theatre is fabulous. It's what we do it for. You get a reaction. You can see people's faces for a couple of rows at least. And people stand up and applaud you if you've done it well, which is what it's all about. However, you know, theatres aren't full all the time, and so there's a certain amount of remuneration that's lacking. Yeah. TV's quite the opposite. Great money, no one gives a monkey's. You're doing it to three or four black boxes and a crew that want to go for the dinner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's the difference between them. Good money for one, better than the other, but a much better reaction in the theatre. And if we're honest, you know, actors, that's what it's all about, really.
Grand.
Telling it like it is.
Perfect, yeah.
So, Lee, how can people actually sign up to actually say, I'm going to see The Cinderpath, that interview with Nick Cochrane has convinced me I need to see him play a bad guy?
Yeah, well, the great news is a lot of people already have.
Good.
With tickets are flying out very quickly. So, again, I just encourage anybody to either visit our website or phone or come into the box office and get the seats that are remaining. Just echoing Nick's words there about being on stage and being at the theatre. He's used the word gritty. I think that we've modernised education in a lot of ways these days. So learning about that time of year, that time of life, the war, things like that, in a different way, providing laughter, tears, music, everything. I'd encourage anybody to experience it just once.
It is certainly there. I mean, here at the University of Lincoln, of course, Jane Chapman was responsible for the cartoons of the First World War exhibition that she looked at and helped curate from that point of view. We've had 1917, obviously, as the movie. Great movie. Yeah. Sad miscasting. Nick Cochrane should have been in there. I don't know why. Sir Sam Mendes, what the heck are you thinking? I mean, come on now. Sorry.
I know, and I would have been much cheaper.
Yeah. There you go. But it is that sort of thing where, you know, literally just over 100 years ago, a whole new world, a whole new sort of era that was actually there. I wasn't going to go into
it. Yeah, we did some decent research on it as well. All the costumes that we've got are absolutely bang on. Leah was quite fastidious about that. Mm. And myself being a World War One drill sergeant at one point during the show, I fortunately had a little bit of training off someone who knew what they were talking about, army-wise. So we've done what we need to do, and it's of the right era. So, yeah, it is good. Everything's in there.
Were you at all ever tempted, Nick, when you were doing the drill sergeant, to channel your inner Windsor Davis or possibly Louis Gossett from Officer and Gentleman, you know?
I'm struggling with the Officer and the Gentleman, I think.
I got nowhere else to go, says Richard Gere.
Yeah.
I got nowhere else to go.
I'd leave that to him, I think. Yeah. I think, in fairness, he's cornered that, hasn't he? Yeah. But, my inner Windsor Davis, I'm sure everyone's got one. Generally, I just shout like me dad did. You know what I mean? That's to get the point across.
I must admit, Nick, I never thought I'd actually talk about the inner Windsor Davis on an edition of Royal Radio.
It's just
emerged, you know. You lovely boys. Oh, no. Step away from that. Completely.
Very good.
Okay, Nick, it's been awesome. Lee, any final questions you'd like to put to Nick at all about life, the universe, etc.?
When you play in the certain roles within the Cinderpath, do you feel a slight bit of you becomes that person in that time? Do you get lost in the script as such?
You certainly try to. I think that's the essence of what we do, really. Is the short answer. You do try and get lost in it. It's good because we've got a good cast of sort of
really professional guys who were also doing the same thing. So it's a proper team effort, if I'm honest.
And with 15, you're generally talking about an ensemble cast. I mean, actually, just putting that number of people on stage, it's far cry from various other things where you're looking at, you know, can we just have two or three, actually, and just do multiple parts?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys in multi-role within it because they have to, and that's again, what we do. The lead guys, they're all pretty... We keep to what we're doing.
Let's test this then with our debut co-host today, Leanne Etheridge. Leanne, you've heard what Nick's been talking about. Are you tempted to go and check out The Cinder Path and possibly do a review of it for our radio?
I am very tempted. I absolutely love that period of history as well. Also, what tempted you to actually play the role in The Cinder Path? Like, what made you say yes to this?
Don't say the size of the contract, please.
A couple of things. Yeah, that aside. A couple of things, really. First of all, Leah. She's fabulous. I've not quite met anyone quite like Leah. She's 150 mile an hour, still doing it, just, you know, picking bits of set up and throwing them in the van. You know, she's very hands-on and absolutely brilliant on stage. She's been brilliant as a director, and she's just a lovely person. So that's the first one. Secondly, just the fact that Cookson, as the estate, has allowed this to come out and be kind of slightly adapted to something that doesn't generally fit with their sort of criteria. And just to get that on my CV is good. I like people in the North East as well, for most of it. Yeah, they're a good group of guys. And without going into the minute detail of the exact location where you live, everyone's really nice. So it's been a joy to do.
There you see that. And you see, north of Watford, it's a standard line. I mean, as I like to say, there's a kind of border line on that basis where, you know, when we go south...
I do like the fact that they all call me Southerner.
Technically.
Manchester born and bred, and I'm a Southerner. So.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, technically, we all have to remember that our mission in life is to civilise the people living in London. So that's by and by.
Yeah, and I'm with you.
Yeah, well, exactly.
We're fighting a losing battle, but nevertheless.
Yes. Nick, it has been awesome. At least we can console ourselves momentarily with the result that the Germans had against the Liverpudlians last night. So that's good news. So momentarily.
That won't last either, will it? But nevertheless.
What the heck?
Listen, good luck to him, mate. Rather it here than somewhere else.
What? There you go.
I don't mean that, do I?
I won't even start quoting Gary Neville, who said that, you know, he'd like to criticise City, he'd like to, but unfortunately be a hypocrite with what he's doing with Salford City. So I know, it's sort of too much. Nick Cochran, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself. Hopefully we'll speak again very soon and enjoy the Cindy Path. The Cindy Path. No, that's the toy doll version. That's the next one entirely. The Cinder Path, the musical, fantastic sort of thing coming to the new Theatre Royal Lincoln on the 26th of February. It's going to be, quite frankly, unmissable. Nick, a round of applause for Nick Cochran, please. Yay!
This was great. You must have me back on.
When I look back to see those blue skies, were there better days between the hellos and the goodbyes, the promises we made? And looking back, we had the chances. How many did we throw away? But you can't go back just to start it all over. No second chances. Just to start it all over, no second chance.
to start it all over, no second chance, is time. It's time. And all I have looking over my shoulder is just a memory of you.
Okay, quick quiz. Ollie, how does that particular tune relate to one of the awesome events that's coming up to the New Theatre Royal Lincoln? And I've just got to be here. We've got to do a feature on this.
Oh, I wish I'd been paying more attention now.
It's The World We Left Behind, which you could say ties into The Cinder Path.
Oh,
but The
go,
World
yeah.
We Left Behind, the latest release from The Fizz.
Well, hey, oh,
up
go,
close
yeah.
with The Fizz. Jay Aston, Cheryl Baker, Mike Nolan. You might well say, is that making your mind up, Fizz? Well, yes. Why isn't it Bucks? Legal. We can't go into it. Very sad legal, but three of the authentic Fizz members actually coming on the 27th of May.
March, actually.
March.
Yeah, so it's just a nice intimate evening with those guys. I don't know if any skirt ripping off will happen or not.
Oh, please. Let's go away from that cliche. As I say, The World We Left Behind. I mean, their latest stuff is really very impressive.
Well, it's great, yeah. And it's nice for that these superstars, I suppose, in the music industry are still going around,
well,
and people can actually come and see them and have a chat.
The only slight challenge was Jay Aston stood as a UKIP candidate. I thought, Jay, what are you thinking? I know you were bitter about Eurovision, but, you know, you won it. He's back, you know. Still, but other than that, I think we're great from that point of view. We must sort of get these guys out. Cheryl's done great wildlife stuff, you know. Yeah. Superb from that point of view. So, yes, that was the thing that really caught my eye in terms of events that must demonstrate how well the New Theatre Royal Lincoln is.
Yeah, we get some great names.
So exciting with respect to that. Obviously, we put the bid in for Jodie this particular time, Jodie Kidd. Burlesque and Tassel, or Tassels, I should say, and even on the 28th of February.
They came a couple of years ago. It's a really good variety show. This kind of bringing the art form of burlesque back to the theatre. Really classy, so that's going to be a great show. That is next Friday, I believe. We've also got the Russian State Opera coming back. I think they were last here with Madama Butterfly. This time they're here with Verdi's Aida. Classic opera on the Friday, so that's going to be great. And also next week we've got our first Comedy Night of the Royal of the Year, and we've got five of those this year. They're proved so popular. Every single time the one comes, it gets more and more popular. And this time we've got Andre Vincent, Jeff Stevenson and Pete Phillipson, who's actually from Lincolnshire. So we've got a local lad on stage.
Right, question for Leanne. Have you, in your nearly 3 years that you've spent at the University of Lincoln, have you ever headed off to the New Theatre Royal Lincoln?
I actually haven't. Can you tell me whereabouts it is?
Whoa,
there we go.
Go for it, Lee.
Yeah, on Classgate Gate, so which is just off the high street. It's a prominent spot, not quite up the hill where the cathedral is. Don't worry, you don't have to climb that.
No,
we're just right at the bottom of the cathedral. So it's on Classgate Gate. In terms of coming, you need to come to Comedy Night. There's so many shows here we have for you to come to.
And you're shooting as well, so you get cheap tickets.
Yeah, £9.50 tickets.
Oh, now that's selling it to me.
So come along, bring as many people. It is a really fun night. If you're up for a laugh, laughter's the best medicine, they say. And I believe it is, especially if we all work hard. We all don't give ourselves enough time.
How often, you know, the medical centre that's taking place, being built at the University of Lincoln at this very moment in time, are saying, Mary Stewart, Vice-Chancellor, obviously, Professor Stewart, why not have some clowns in there? There are enough clowns teaching students. They say, no, let's just step away from that. I can say that, and I'm not going to endorse it in any way. I just have anyway. Let's move on. Way in which people can get in touch with the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, please, Ollie.
Same as always. So you can visit us on ntrlincoln.co.uk. Give us a call on 01522 51999. Or just pop in and have a little chat with us.
Do come in and see us, interact with us. We're a friendly bunch. And give us some ideas. People have started coming in, especially on a Thursday. We've opened our bistro for a coffee morning between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. People meet in the team, so we send emails out, we make phone calls, we put in a face to the name.
It's time we had another location report there, Ollie, obviously.
Yeah, some time
from that one. You know, when I set up this programme, I was literally thinking, right, lots of jungle tracks, lots of things about the Jungle Book and things like that, obviously looking ahead to the Easter pantomime, which is going to be fantastic.
Which all the cast has now been announced, I think.
Yes.
It's changed since we last came in. So,
you've got
yeah.
Chris Johnson, yay!
Yeah.
You've got Michelle Morris, yay! Yeah, and a whole heap of other things. Of course, you can still book tickets. This is for the Easter pantomime, Monday the 13th of April to Sunday Sunday the 19th of April. Have they started rehearsals as yet?
As far as I'm aware, no. No, I'm sure they'll be getting into their best monkey characterisations, etc. But no, rehearsals will start a couple of weeks before.
There are other animals, obviously, involved in the Jungle Book.
There are. It's just the first one that came to my head.
I mean, orangutan, I'd say, possibly. You know, I want to be like you.
I think we go back to the Hartlepool thing again.
Yeah, clearly, exactly.
Let's just say there's quite a few surprises as well thrown in for the Jungle Book. So I'm not going to spoil it. You need to come and see it.
I'm sure we'll be having a special Royal Radio on Jungle Book for too long. And in fact, the other thing, I'll throw this out. If Leanne is up for it and you're up for it, maybe we should send her along to review at least one of the shows we've talked about.
That sounds perfect. Yeah. And we're going to stamp that right now, so you've got to do it. Sorry.
So,
100%. Exactly. That's done and dusted. You've been listening to Royal Radio with Lee, with Ollie, with Leanne. It's been awesome. We thank Jodie Kidd. We thank Katie from Age UK, Katie Graham, and, of course, Nick Cochran. It's been something. I mean, I'm just tempted about, the next Fizz track. I'm sorry, I've got to have two in. I think we should have a whole Fizz session next time, because just seeing this. I actually went to see them at the Dominion Theatre in London.
Oh, that's a lovely theatre, that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen them probably four or five times in a venue I used to work in previously in Blackpool. This show as the Fizz.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. They are very... I mean, okay, sometimes I think maybe a little bit of de-aging could be useful. No names, but at the same time, the quality of the tunes, superb. I mean, it's just really...
Absolutely.
Obviously, I won't be saying that if we get a chance to interview them.
As Ollie was saying earlier, we are attracting bigger names and well-known names. The theatre itself is...
Stormzy up next year, I believe.
Well, if we've got room for him, I don't know.
Dave, perhaps, you know. Stormzy and Dave. It's awesome. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I just want to mention as well, with pride, that the theatre... producer of the panto. So, obviously, we have Jungle Book as the Easter panto. But our last Christmas one, Robin Hood... has been nominated for the Great British Panto Awards in 2020. So that's for the best show for a venue that's under 750 seats. We're in the final, in the top five, which is a huge achievement and just speaks volumes, really, for what's going on within
Lee,
the building.
That's the reason you were here today.
Yes.
that function of actually releasing that piece of vital, important information so that when Ollie goes back to the office, you can't say, did they not speak about that? Well, he did, Sandra. Exactly, sorted through. So, piece of the action. Up for the fight or winning ways? What would you like to go for as far as the Fizz are concerned? Piece of the action 2017.
It's your first time. You choose.
Do you know what? I always like a piece of the action.
It is. It is a classic. I mean, let's face it. Sorry, Leon, you'll have to excuse us, but you know, when we have a Fizz moment, it'll take us out of Royal Radio for this month. Back again very soon, I would have thought.
Sounds good to me.
Excellent. Is there a catchphrase that we use? Break a leg? Do we use that?
We should do that, shouldn't we?
We should have a catchphrase.
Let's go for break a leg for now.
All right. A one, two, three.
Break a leg.
Ow.